Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses responsively. I'll read, then you read. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 10 responsively. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests, and blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, and priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for today, God. We thank you again for Sunday. I love Sunday morning. I love Sunday night. I love coming before my people, Lord, the people that you've chosen me to pastor, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll do what you always do. I pray you'll meet with me, fall upon my heart, fall upon my lips, fall upon each heart here today. May you encourage those who need to be encouraged. May you lift up those who may be have stumbled. But Lord, Holy Spirit, you do your work today. We love you and we thank you for the privilege to be able to meet together in freedom like this each and every week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to speak to you on the subject this morning, tearing down the walls. Tearing down the walls. I love Joshua. I love to read about Joshua. I tell you, he's a fighter. Yeah, he's a man of God. He's a great leader. And, of course, if you read through Joshua, you'll see the battles. And, of course, he was a great leader, a great general. And we come here after 40 long years, we see that Israel is finally ready to claim and begin the process of claiming the promised land that God had promised them way back when in Egypt. Of course, God saw his people, the children of Israel, in bondage. And God said, well, I'm going to do something about that. And he had a land, a better place for them, a place of victory. And you see here, after 40 years, that the children of Israel are ready to claim it. The very first city, however, that needed to be defeated was Jericho. Jericho was a city that had two great stone walls. One had an outer wall that was about 20 feet tall and 6 feet wide. And the inner wall was about 30 feet tall and 12 feet wide. These two walls were separated by a 15-foot-wide guarded walkway, and it is believed that the city covered about 9 acres and was about an eight-mile walk around the city. That's very important in this story here, if you will. Jericho was a hindrance to Israel. Of course, we all have hindrances, don't we? We have hindrances that kind of cause us to stumble and maybe get in the way. And for Israel to keep going forward to the place that God wanted them to go, they had to go through Jericho. Jericho was a hindrance to Israel. It stood as an obstacle between them and the promised land. Before they could go any deeper into the promised land which the Lord had given them, they had to go ahead and defeat Jericho. Our text is all about how Jericho was defeated and how the walls seemed almost impossible. These walls were so thick and it was almost impossible for them to come crashing down. And some are wondering, okay, preacher, what does this battle fought almost 3,000 years ago have to do with us today? Well, the truth is, this battle has a lot to do with our walk today. It can picture how a wall can keep us from getting to the place where God wanted them. You see, God didn't want Israel just to go ahead and quit every battle that came their way. You know, we're going to have battles. You know what? They had the Red Sea. They had Amalek. They had, think of Moses. He had to deal with murmuring. I mean, there was battles all through the wilderness. They had that wilderness to go through. And they came to Jordan, and of course Moses went ahead and died there on Mount Nebo. Of course he couldn't go into the promised land, but then they had to cross Jordan, and now they're at Jericho. I mean, there's battles all along the way. The Christian life is full of battles. That's the way it is. Now, let me just say this. We shouldn't be in despair about it. You know, the truth is, you ought to let your battles teach you something and allow them battles to teach somebody else something. But the truth is, this battle here teaches us a lot about our walk today. It pictures us on how we can keep on going, how we have to go ahead and fight and have to knock down some walls in our life to get to where God wants us to be. The promised land is where God wanted Israel, but there had to be some battles that needed to be fought to get there. There had to be some walls, if you will, torn down. Before they could go further, Jericho had to be defeated. Before Jericho could be defeated, the walls had to come down. That thick wall, inner, outer wall that stood around them had to come down. The city stood as a barrier between them and God's best for them. The God's best was the promised land. And if they were going to get all that God had for them, the wall had to come down. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there a Jericho in the way of your life this morning? Are there some walls this morning that need to come down? I'm talking about something that's keeping you from getting, from having the blessing of God. Is there some walls that need to be torn down? Is there something that's keeping you from having God's best for you? Is there some wall, is there some Jericho that needs to be defeated this morning? I wonder how many walls in our personal lives need to be knocked down this morning. What barriers are up that prevent us from having God's best? What is separating you from the very best that God has for you? I want you to think here, church. What is separating you from the very best that God has for you? What is keeping you from ultimate victory? What wall or walls must be torn down? See, some today, you know there's some walls. You know there's something there that maybe shouldn't be there. Maybe it's some besetting sin. Maybe it's that besetting sin that's keeping you from God's best. Maybe it's some old hurt that has grown into a root of bitterness, and now it is grown so big that you've kind of got that indifferent look, and that's keeping you from God's best. Maybe it is that cold, indifferent spirit that's invaded your life and has built a wall between you and God's best. Maybe it is a bad attitude towards someone, or an unforgiving spirit, or pride, or anger, or something from your past. Maybe there's some critical tones. Maybe there's a friend that keeps kind of talking to you about your Christian life. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Let me just say this. If there's a friend that's knocking around because you're saved, you know what? They're no friend. You know, your friends ought to be, and Brother Robas very eloquently stated it this morning. You know, if you've got a so-called friend that keeps you from going further for God, you got a so-called friend that's keeping you from getting the blessing and getting you going somewhere, you know what? They're not a friend. You know what a friend does? A true Christian friend is going to build you up. A true Christian friend is going to help, steer you into the right direction. A Christian friend is not going to go ahead and be that wall, if you will, that keeps you from going any further for God. And a true Christian friend is going to encourage you and not discourage you. Hey, you know what? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Maybe it's a besetting sin, something that only you and God knows. You say, well, preacher, you know, that sin, it's not all that big. Hey, sin is sin with God, my friend. You know what, and you let that sin go ahead and stay in your heart. You know what, that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Before you know it, you're going to wonder, what in the world happened in my Christian life? It might have been a besetting sin. What in the world kept me from going further in this great relationship that God has for me? What's keeping me from getting, if you will, to the promised land? What is that Jericho that needs to be torn down? Hey, you know what, analyze it. I don't know what it is, but you know. You know what that Jericho is. You know that big, huge, thick wall. You know what? You might have to take one wall at a time. Now, in this case, you know, I love this story. It ends real well. But you know what? You might have to take the outer wall first and start chipping away at it. You might have to take that inner wall and start chipping away at it. I don't know. But what is it that's keeping you from God's best this morning? Whatever, I urge you, whatever it is, to ask yourself, is this situation attitude really worth standing in the way of God's best? Is that wall really worth standing in the way of God's best? I mean, have you literally come to a point in your life that maybe, you know, you're just right there at the wall and you're not going any further, but God has more for you. He has some more things for you. Maybe there's some battle in your life. Maybe there's some struggle in your life. The red one, I guess. This is what we used to. Maybe there's something in your life this morning that's keeping you from getting to your promised land, so to speak, the victorious Christian life. Maybe there's something, I don't know, maybe there's that battle that's been festering in your heart and you're way down here and you seem to stay down there. Let me tell you something. Why don't you just decide, hey, in a moment we're going to see how to fight the battles in your life. We're going to see what it takes to tear down that wall. But you know what? I urge you this morning. You don't have to stay down there. You don't have to stay down in the molly grubs. You can rise above that. You can rise above the circumstances. You can keep on going. You don't have to stay at this wall. Hey, you know what? I don't want any wall to keep me from going forward. I don't want anything to keep me from going forward for God. I don't want any stumbling block in my life to keep me from being the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I don't want any stumbling block to get in the way from me being the kind of daddy that I ought to be. I don't want any kind of wall to get in my life that keeps me from being the kind of husband I want to be. Hey, you know, I want to tear down some walls that keeps me from having God's best this morning. You know, God wants the best for you. You know, the Christian life is fun. It really is. I enjoy. I wouldn't want any other life than what I'm living today. I love every single moment of my life. I'm certain, you know, yes, I have these down here, but let me tell you something. I have determined not to stay here. And you know why? A lot of it simply is because of those that follow me. You know what? It wouldn't help you one bit. And I've illustrated before. If I came in and, let's see. What do we do? Grab a songbook. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. I heard, you know, it wouldn't help you one bit. You know what? Listen. You know what? Listen, if you're down here this morning, you know what? And you're down here for, you've been here for a little while, I should say. It's probably because you choose to stay here. You know, you don't have to stay down. Yes, and I understand the battles will come. I understand finances will come. I understand maybe a job loss. I understand certain situations come. But let me tell you something. We serve a God that's much bigger than that. We serve a God that's much bigger than this dark cloud. We serve a God that's much bigger than this valley. We serve a God that's much bigger than this little battle that you're going through. Hey, you know what? You can rise above the circumstances. No, maybe the battle won't go right away as quick as you want it to. But the truth of the matter is, you can rise above it. And if do it, if not for yourself, do it for your family. If not for yourself, do it for those who follow you. You know what? In some way here, we're all leaders here this morning. We really are. You know, when I was working with teenagers, teaching them leadership and so forth, I used to tell them, you know what? If you have a younger brother and sister, you know what? You are a leader. You are. If you have a younger brother and sister, and by the way, the way you treat your mom and dad, the way that you treat the preacher, the way that you treat godly authority, the way you, what you listen to, what you watch, you know what? That little sister, brother, you know what? Is going to follow in suit. That little sister and brother is going to go ahead and follow suit with you in your leadership. Mom and dad, obviously, we're leaders. You know what? If we're not consistent, if we're kind of like this and so forth, is it no wonder why our children will go ahead and be like this? Yeah, if we go ahead and face battles and financial troubles and different things in our life, and we kind of live our life down there, and we don't have to as a child of God. We don't have to stay down there. We can rise above the circumstances. But let me ask you a question. If you're down there, mama and daddy, is it no wonder why when your kids get older, they live down there simply because we chose to stay there? You know, and I mentioned as church leader, you know, God just, for some reason, I've said it before, God ought to just walk through them back doors. He could pastor this church a whole lot better than me, but I'm the one God chose. I'm the one the people of God chose. And yes, you know, the truth is, there's going to be some battles that come. There's going to be some trials that come, but it will not help this church one bit if I stay there.
You know, we can rise above the circumstances. You know, is there some walls? I don't want any wall to go ahead and keep us from being blessed. I don't want any wall to go ahead and keep me from getting God's best. I don't want any wall as a pastor to go ahead and keep our church from having God's best. I don't want any wall to go ahead and have my family from having God's best. Hey, you know what? We need to tear down some walls this morning. What is it in your life? What Jericho is it that you have just been a little fearful in going after? You know, I want to urge you today, go after. I'm going to tell you in just a moment how we can go get it, how we can go ahead and tear down the walls. Boy, but ask yourself a question. Is this wall really worth it? Is this situation or this attitude or this friend or whatever really worth keeping you from having God's best in your life? I don't think it's worth not going any deeper in your relationship with God. I don't think any wall is worth me keeping, me having what God's best is for my life. You know, the good news is your walls can be brought down. You do not have to live with that indifferent spirit or attitude. You do not have to live not knowing for sure that you have eternal life. You can tear them walls down. You know what? The truth of the matter, maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, and there's some wall that's keeping you from making that step and that decision for Jesus Christ. The most wonderful decision in all the world is getting saved. That most wonderful, the biggest burden that can be lifted off you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, I plead with you, hey, you ought to tear down that wall that's keeping you from taking that extra step, that step forward into the Christian life. Hey, whatever it is that's keeping you from being saved, and whatever it is that's going to keep you from having all the glory of heaven and having the mansions that the Father has promised to be preparing and walking down streets of gold, whatever it is that keeps you from getting to the Father, that keeps you from being saved this morning, why don't you decide, I'm going to tear that wall down. I'm going to tear that wall down. Hey, you know what? You can tear the walls down. Preacher, I don't want to live unsuccessful as far as the Christian life is concerned. I don't want this wall in my life. How can I tear it down? Here's how. Number one, you got to fall at the right feet. Well, go ahead and read. Let's read verse number 13. Chapter 5, verse number 13. It's the verses preceding chapter 6 here. Verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. How can I tear the walls down my life? Number one, you got to fall at the right feet. You know, Joshua was a great leader. I mentioned that just a couple moments ago. He was a great leader. And no doubt, as a great general and as a great leader, he had to have a battle plan. He was probably preceding this, I'm sure, somewhere along the way. Of course, the Bible says he was by Jericho here, and I don't know what he had laid out, but he might have been sitting there kind of thinking about them walls and so forth and trying to devise a plan as to how to knock down these walls. Maybe he's a little bit confused. How am I going to go ahead and create some plan attack? Them walls are big. How am I going to go ahead and do this thing? Maybe he's concerned as to probably how he's going to attack Jericho, and maybe it's kind of how your walls are today. You're kind of sitting there right now, Christian, maybe unsaved one. You're kind of wondering, how can I go ahead and have God's blessing? And you're kind of wondering, how can this wall come down? How can this big, thick wall in my life come down? You know, I have no success, Christian success in my life. I have no joy in my life. I have no peace in my life. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Nothing is worse than being a Christian that has no joy. You know what? Jesus is the one that has all joy. The joy of the Lord ought to be your strength. Boy, he gives you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, you know, the truth of the matter is you can have joy this morning, but this morning you might be like Joshua. I wonder if maybe, you know, how, man, you know, how can I get this? I could maybe see him kind of rubbing his, them are thick walls, you know, and whatever I do, you know, them guys up there who's walking that walkway up there, they're going to, you know, they know we're here. You know, the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes, that he looked. The Bible says here that he was, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. He saw a man who was standing with a sword drawn in his hand. And he goes ahead and asks in so many words, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or against us? This man responds, I am captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, which is a battle name for the God of Israel. It is then that Joshua realizes this is no ordinary meeting. It is then that he realizes this is no ordinary man. It is then that he realizes that this is a manifestation of God, and God has come down ready for battle. He came down ready to go ahead and fight. And when Joshua realized who he was talking to, and when he realized that this was no ordinary man, when he realized no ordinary meeting, you know, the Bible says he immediately fell down and he worshiped him. He realized, he recognized who he was. Joshua's reaction is exactly the same reaction of how we should respond to those walled off areas in our life. Hey, you know what? Joshua, he fell to the right feet. Hey, what feet are you falling at this morning? You got some thick wall there? You got something there that's keeping you from going on for God? Hey, you know what? You got to fall down at the right feet. Joshua, he immediately recognized him, and he realized this isn't ordinary. This is not some ordinary man. Hey, you know what? He fell down at the right feet. That's what we should do. Instead of getting mad or upset about these walls or at God or at people, you know what? You need to fall down at the right feet. Instead of trying to figure out how to do this battle, fight this battle yourself, fall down at the right feet. You got to recognize the authority of God. In 14a, he said, nay, but this is a captain of the Lord of hosts of the Lord. Am I now come? And he recognized his authority. He fell on his face. He realized the truth that even though he was commander of Israel's army, you know, he was standing face to face with the commander in chief. Joshua removed himself. He humbled himself in the presence of Almighty God. He then realized that he was not in charge. He realized who really was in charge, and that's God. Let me just stop and say this. Is he in charge this morning? Is he in charge of your life this morning? Whatever it is that's keeping you from going on for God this morning, hey, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and refocus a little bit? Stop putting self in the way. Stop putting others in the way. Stop putting the world in the way and say, oh, you know what? I got to fall down at the right feet if these walls are going to come down. The first step to victory over those walls is to recognize who really is in charge. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Stop trying to figure out a way to tear down those walls yourself. Recognize who is ultimately in charge, and surrender and bow at his feet this morning. Who's calling the shots in your life? Who's in the driver's seat of your life? Do you determine where you go and how you live? You know, I found out a long time ago that God can do much better with my life than I can. And the truth of the matter is, I look around every day at his blessings. And I go, wow. You know, this morning, I mean, I I've been looking for the warmer weather. It's been a long winter. And this morning, I got to walk around a little bit, and you know, heard the birds chirping. First thing I heard, we had our window open in our bedroom, and I woke up, and first thing I heard this morning was the chirping of the birds. And you know what I said? Really. My wife was still kind of out of it over there, but sleeping, that is, okay? But I better straighten that out a little bit. I don't know. I always get in trouble whenever I bring my wife into this, but that's okay. She's great. And but I heard them birds. I go, wow. You know why I said wow? Because I was saying, God, thank you. Boy, them birds were just singing along. And then I got dressed. And a good thing to do, you know. And it's okay. We can laugh. Amen. We're in church. It's okay. Just loosen up a little bit. It's all right. Amen. Got ready and came out, and you know, I like to walk around, especially these kind of days, walk around the church a little bit and so forth, and heard the birds singing again. I saw the blue sky, felt the warmth. Yeah, I got thinking about our day today and how we were praying for nice weather, and I said, Lord, thank you. God, thank you. So you gave us good weather. You didn't have to. I don't know. I mean, he could have. Last year we had a great day too. It rained, but you know, but he gave us some beautiful weather. I just got feeling the warmth and look at the trees. You look outside, the trees are budding. You know, the leaves are beginning to form. And again, I said, wow. And I got thinking before I came into the back door of my office, I got thinking about the clothes on my back. But thinking again about the things that he's given me, you know what? I just have learned a long time ago that God, who created all that we see around us, he can do a whole lot better with my life than I can. You know what? Each and every day, you know what, my friend, listen. You choose to live there, you don't have to. And the truth of the matter is, when we choose to live there, it's probably because we're not falling at the right feet. You know what? And the reason why we can live above the circumstances, and you know what? Joshua thought, what? You know, the promised land is on the other side of Jericho. And you know what? But when he realized who was standing there with him, he immediately bowed down. And you know what? That's what we need to do each and every day. He said, I'm not going to choose to live right here with this complexity and perplexity of how is this going to go ahead and happen? You know what? When he realized who was there, he bowed down. You know, what Jericho is it this morning? You know, I don't know, but you and God does. What is it that's keeping you from going forward? What wall are you up against today? And you're trying to, you're not going anywhere, are you? What wall that needs to come down today? Maybe teenager, it's friends. Maybe mom and dad, maybe adult, it's friends. That's keeping you from going God's direction. Keeping you from getting the best that God has. Whatever it is, you need to go ahead and recognize his authority. That's what Joshua did. First step to victory is recognizing who is in charge. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Who's in the driver's seat? Do you determine how you live and where you go? You know what? Find out that God can do a whole lot better with your life than you can. Stop running your, you know what? You start running your life your way, you know what? You're going to get tuckered out real quick. You know, you start running your life and the battles in your life outside the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter, he's there. We just maybe don't nurture him and recognize him or allow him to communicate with us, but the truth of the matter is, but you want to live your life outside of the power of God, you know what, you're going to get tuckered out real quick. You're going to get tired. The truth of the matter is, you know what, that Holy Spirit's there to give you strength, and the Holy Spirit's there to go ahead and comfort you. The Holy Spirit's there to guide you, but the truth is, you know, the Bible says we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know, it might be some sort of sin, might be something in your life, some of the things that I mentioned previous that's keeping you from having that Holy Spirit strength and that from literally being tapped in. You know, it might be something that's literally keeping you from being tapped into the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, therefore, here you are, you have no strength. You come to the wall. Oh, another wall. Forget it. You say, people do it. I've seen great Christians go ahead and they just get tired of the walls and say, no, you know, I think I'm just going to set this one out. Hey, my friend, listen. What is the Jericho in your way this morning from getting God's best? It's when you finally come to the end of yourself and surrender and give the battle plan over to God that he will go ahead and work. You know, remember the prodigal son? You know, the prodigal son, he wanted his riches and he wanted his money, if you will. He went out and spent it on riotous living. And you know what? When it was all gone, the Bible says, you know, and he was feeding pigs and he was living with the pigs. I mean, he was down. It was talk about being low. He was down as low as you could go. You know what the Bible says? But when he came to himself, he got thinking there, I don't know, maybe in that barn or however, and smelly and stinky and feed the pigs and whatever. He came to himself. He says, I need my Heavenly Father. I need to humble myself and fall at the right feet again. You know, what is it? What's that Jericho that's keeping you from God's best? You know, it was then Joshua went ahead and not only recognized the authority, but he respected his authority. The Bible says in the second half of 14, verse 14 in chapter 5 of Joshua, and Joshua fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua was a battle-hardened general. You know, he's a tough guy. Joshua was not one of these guys that you wanted to mess around with. He was no doubt a tough guy. He was strong. Probably in some ways he was kind of his own man. He knew how to lead. He knew how to fight. He knew how to win. But you know, he came to that place of recognizing and respecting his authority. He bowed down. And that's a position of surrender. He put himself in a position of helplessness before God. Now listen, you want the walls torn down, you got to come to a point of bowing down and putting yourself in a helplessness before God, saying, God, I can't do it, but you can. That's what he was doing. He came to a place where he says, I can't, but Lord, you can. It's almost as if he was saying, Lord, I am your servant. You do with me as you will. I am yours. I'm reminded of Jesus in the garden prior to the crucifixion. You know, the devil was working on him and so forth. He was sweating great drops of blood. You know, the battle was there. He was fighting. And you know, he was praying in the garden and he says, Lord, if this cup could be passed from me, I wrote it down. I typed it out. Luke 22, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus, you know, he was battling. Says, Lord, God, if there's any other way, but if not, it's not my will. Yours be done. You know what? Use me, God. I'm yours to complete your plan. Let me say this. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you, but it might be your will that's keeping you from fulfilling the plan of God. I'm talking about your will. It might be something that, well, you know what? God might be saying, hey, you need to write, you read your Bible more. You need to pray more. You need to get in church. You need to get involved in the church. You need to do this. I mean, there's some things that God wants you to do so you can grow and so you can grow and so you can grow so that when you get to the walls, you'll be able to go ahead and tear them things down each and every battle, each and every wall that you come. But he's trying to show you some things through preaching. He's trying to show you some things through your private devotion with God. He's trying to show you some things through your prayer life and so forth. And he's trying to show you some things. But your will says, no, God, I don't have time. Boy, he made a whole lot of time for you. Better be careful of that. You know, I got this I got to do Sunday morning. I got this I got to do Sunday night. I got to go ahead and do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. The truth of the matter is God's trying to show you some things. He's trying to give you some strength through his word and different things. But your will might be keeping you from literally having God's best in your life. There's some walls up. There's some walls up, aren't there? Teenager, there's some walls that's keeping you from going on for God. You know what? Some of you teenagers, you've been called to preach. You know, you better watch out. You know, the devil will do anything he can to put a wall there to keep you from a pulpit one day. He'll do anything he can. He'll do anything he can, teenager, to go ahead and keep you from doing God's will. And let me tell you something, you better be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Hey, mama and daddy, you raising your kid up, you know that your child, you want your child to do right. Maybe you made some mistakes in the past, mom and dad, but you don't want them to make the same mistakes. So you want to teach them the ways of the Lord. You want to teach them to do right and so forth. But mom and daddy, you got to keep straight too. You got to go ahead and keep your will broken down too. You got to each day say, hey, God, it's not my will, but thine be done. Joshua came to respect the authority. He says, use me, God. I'm yours. Are you doing that? Are you submitting to the will of God this morning? That's what God wants. He wants to place our lives totally in his hands. Boy, it's safe when you do that too, by the way. No safer place than to know that you're in the hand of God. Boy, he's looking for people that'll sell out for him and do everything and live for him. After all, you know what? Everything you have is his anyways. You know what? If you just go ahead and I'll go ahead and give you all. God, I'll keep you number one in my life. I'll go ahead and serve you. I'll stay in step with you. I'll do what you want me to do. Well, you know what? You'll have a very blessed life if you do that. And then you could rest in his authority. In verse number 15, you see that, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Oh, let's see here. Daniel, can I borrow your shoe? It's all right. Thank you. Whew. No, it's all right. You know what? When you go ahead and you recognize and you You recognize his authority. You respect his authority. Doing what Joshua, I'm telling you, Joshua, a big man, by the way. He bowed down at Jesus' feet, the right feet. You know what? When you get to a place where you allow God to have his will in your life. You know, the Bible says that you can rest in his authority. This is what Joshua did. He said, Captain of the Lord's hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. You know, Joshua removes his shoe and hands it to the Lord. That's an Old Testament way of saying, Lord, I cannot do this, but you can. You know, he immediately takes off his shoe. And Daniel, since you're a part of it, come on up here. There you go. He's limping like he only has one shoe. Amen. It's all right. Stand over there. You're going to be God, okay? Don't pay much, don't get much. Amen? But you know what? This is what Joshua was saying. That's why he could have a restful spirit. That's why he had a peace once he realized who he had to bow down to, which is Jesus. He could rest in the authority of Jesus. You know what? He went ahead, as the Bible says, he went ahead and took off his shoe. Says, and that's a sign of him giving totally his will. Saying, you know, God, I can't do this. But I know you can. I know you can, God. God, I can't do that. You know, the finances and the illness and the battles and this and that. And I lost my job. I don't know what to do, Lord. The walls are up and I just don't know what to do. But God, I'm going to go ahead and push my will out of the way, and I'm going to surrender myself. And I'll go ahead and I'll give you my shoe as a token, as a sign that I'm going to rely totally upon you. And you know what? Joshua found rest. Joshua was rested in the fact, thank you very much. Thank you. Give him a good hand. He did well. You know, he found rest. He says, the only way that I can do this is through you. The truth of the matter is, whatever it is you're going through this morning, church, is that's the only way you can go ahead and get through some of the battles and the heartaches. That's the only way that the walls are going to be able to come down is when you totally fall at Jesus' feet and find and recognize him and respect him. And then you'll find the rest that you need in him. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know what? You can do it, but it's got to be through Christ. Stop trying to do it in your own power. Push your own will out of the way and surrender to God. Some may ask, how do you handle the family and church and everything else? You know, I can't, but I just keep running to the one who can. You know what? He's right there. He knows all. He understands everything that I'm going through. And you know, how can you? And I ask you the same question. How can you go ahead and go through some of the things that you're going through? You can't do it on your own, but you can through Jesus Christ. But what is it? Your stubborn will keeping you from bowing down at the right feet? Oh, you don't understand, you know, that bar room keeping you from it? You know, the truth of it, you can go ahead and have all these mountains of problems. Listen to me. You can have all these mountains of problems. And you may go down to the bar room and go ahead and drink yourself drunk, and the world may go ahead and teach to do that. The world may go ahead and do that. But you know what? That same mountain is there after you come down off from that high. It's there. But you know what? Trying to say this one, church, bow at the right feet. Fall down at the right feet. I've got to keep moving. Joshua, he came to a point of total surrender to God. He gives up his will, his plans, his desires, his abilities, and strength. He scraps his own plans and says, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. Have you come to a place where you symbolically take off your shoe? The Lord, here am I. I need help. I can't do this by myself, but I'm going to rely upon your strength. Have you come to that point? Fall at the right feet and follow the right plan. Now, as soon as Joshua surrenders himself to God, the Lord, and it's Joshua chapter 6, 1 through 20. We'll read a few of these verses as we go. But God's plan, you know what? We see that then God begins to move. We see then that God's battle plan, Joshua scraps his own plans and God gets his plans together. You know, his plan was a little bit unconventional. You know, you read through and you kind of got the gist of the story in the text that we read a while ago. It's a little bit different. You know, Let's read a few of these. Let's read the preliminary plan here. And ye shall, in verse number 3 of chapter 6, ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Now, mind you, you know what? Here's Jericho. This is what God's saying to for Joshua to do. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You know what? How you want the walls to be torn down? God says, hey, you know what, Joshua, you scrap your own plans. You've gone ahead and submitted your will to my will. You've fallen at the right feet. Now God can go ahead and work. He gets involved, and his plan is a little bit unconventional. He goes ahead. You see, there's no talk of armor or armaments here. There's no talk of soldiers or swords or spears. There's no talk of sieges or strategies or secret weapons. You know, God's plan only was the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, the trumpets, and the people. And God said, take the Ark, the 7 priests blowing ram's horns, go before it and blow them trumpets, and then to have the rest of the people follow behind. Don't you say a word, do not shout. This is pretty difficult. I don't know about you, but you know, that's a pretty long day. You can't even talk, man, but this is God's plan. Don't say a word, do not shout, do not talk, do not taunt the people. I guarantee you, you think about them guards up there walking the city. You know, I guarantee you, they were scratching, what in the world are they doing? You think about it. You know, I think, you know, and not only were the guards, not only was the people of Jericho, them soldiers of Jericho probably scratching, what are they doing? You know what, children of Israel were probably, huh? What? Josh, no spears? No. No armor? No. No swords? No. Joshua, no. God said, thus saith the Lord. God said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do it his way, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to get the priests, we're going to get the trumpets, we're going to get the Ark of the God, Ark of the Covenant. Do not taunt the people. Walk around the city every day for 6 days, and on the 7th day you walk around it 7 times. And when you finish that last lap, shout! That's what he said. Shout the victory, and the walls will fall down. And that's God's plan. Sometimes we may go ahead and sit there and think, God, you see that big wall there. Don't negotiate with them. God, you know, come on. That's, Lord, you think of, we need something bigger than, big, what? God says, bigger? You know, that's just not, that makes no sense from a military standpoint. Well, who created the military? But that doesn't make any sense. That's not even lot. What, you go on with human logic? You know what? God's way to try to tear your wall down may not be exactly what you think, but you submit anyways, because that's when the victory comes. It may not be exactly what you think. You know what? And when you go ahead and you do go do it God's way, you know what? You're going to have to be prepared for some ridicule. The people will mock. I guarantee you. I'm sorry. I get myself involved in these stories. I make the Bible come alive. But you know what? I guarantee you. You know what? They weren't supposed to taunt at them soldiers, but I'd almost think they were probably laughing at them, the children of Israel. Day one, walking around. Day two, hey there, Junior, look at, no offense, but hey there, you know, they're up there on the walkway there. Hey, buddies, come over. They're doing it again. You know what? The world will laugh. The world, you know, you want to live right, you want to do right, you want to follow God's way. The world may go ahead and laugh, but at the end of the day, who wins? You know what? God's people do, and they did. Criticism may come from all sides. Ridicule may come from all sides. Mockery may come. Danger may come. And danger will come. But the soldier for Christ who's standing strong through it all and is girded with the whole armor of God, they're the ones that prove successful. They are the ones that fall upon the face, fall on at Jesus' feet on their face. He's the one whose faith is grounded in the Word of God. He's the one that no matter what, he says, no matter what the world says, no matter if they ridicule, no matter if they mock, I'm just going to keep on walking. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hey, the world doesn't want to follow. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. You know what? Because, you know, let me just say this. I've read the back of the book, and we win. We win. Hey, you know, listen, I move along to my last point here. Follow the right feet. Follow the right plan and finish the right way. You see, when the falls fell down flat, you can read that later on, 17 through 21. Let me just read a few of these verses. Chapter 6, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Let ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. You know what? They had to finish the right way. You see, when the walls fell down, you know what? The job was not quite done. You see, the battle was not over. They were to enter into the city and finish the job. You see, some other things needed to be conquered, the Bible says. They were to go ahead and kill everyone in the city. When Israel entered Jacob, they were to kill everyone in the city. Nothing associated with Jericho could be allowed to live. You see, the city was not the problem, but the people were the problem. They had to be destroyed, or their ways would have corrupted the children of Israel. The same is true in our lives. You know what? Okay, the walls fell down flat, and we think, okay, there's the victory. No, 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 no. There's some other things that need to be destroyed in your life, or else you're going to go back to it. That's the principle being taught here. They had to go in there, and they had to destroy the people. The city wasn't the problem necessarily. It was the people and their wickedness and so forth. And if they didn't go ahead and destroy that, okay, if they didn't go ahead and destroy it, they would have wound back up. They would have wound back up doing things they shouldn't be doing. And you know what? If you're going to have full victory, you've got to finish the job. You know what? Listen, you know why some Christians don't have victory this morning? Because there's that besetting sin that you're not willing to deal with. And Jesus, God says, get rid of it. That's the problem. That's why we don't have the victory. That's why some of us kind of, you know, and we always walk around with a weight. You know, the truth of the matter is there might be something in your life that God says, get rid of it. I don't know what it is. You do. But get rid of it. Get rid of it. When the Lord gives you the victory and the walls fall down, you must rise up and put away the things that are associated with your Jericho. If you do not, you're going to fall back into the same position you were in. You know, for instance, when one gets saved, he's a new creature. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The desires of the world should be gone. You have to put away some things that are associated with it. Maybe there's a circle of friends in your life that's keeping you from having God's best. And I'm not saying there's never a time to be unkind, but it might be that, you know what? They're not pulling me the right direction. They're actually pulling me back. And you might have to create yourself a new circle. You know, that's why I love the church. I find my friends in the church house. This is where I get my encouragement. You know, this is where I know, man, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, in meeting with people and fellowship, you know, this is where I know, you know what, man, these are my friends. These are the people that are for the plan of God. Hey, you know what? There's victory. You know, the Bible says, you know, maybe you've got some things that you've got to destroy in your life. Maybe there's some TV habits. Maybe there's some books that you read. But when God gives you the victory, you must take the steps necessary to see that the problem in your life is conquered. And that's what they're teaching here. That's what the Bible teaches here. See, today when the devil seems to, you know, the devil seems to kind of come at every single area, doesn't he? Every direction. And you know what? You can be up here and it just seems like it's just, you know, that's just the old devil picking at you. And you know what? Let me just say that you don't have to stay there. You can rise above it. You may not overcome the victory right at that moment, but you got to fall at Jesus' feet. You got to follow the right plan, but you got to finish the job. There might be some things that's causing your life to be so up and down and up and down because maybe there's something in your life that God says, you know, I want it. I want to give you victory. I want to give you full victory. The walls may have come down, but you might have to go in and attack some things. And you know what it is. You know what it is. So what walls are bothering you today? Is it a besetting sin? Is it a hurt that's grown into a deep bitterness? Is it a cold, indifferent spirit? A bad attitude, an unforgiving spirit? Pride, anger, something in your past. Is there, what is it? You know what it is. It may not be any of these, but why not today? You want the walls to fall down? You want full victory? Why don't you today say, I'm going to surrender and fall at the right feet? And I'm going to fall at his feet, even though his plan, it's okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord. You know, I'm going to give you my shoe, you know, because I'm going to fully place my trust in you, Lord. I'm going to trust you. You follow the right plan, and you finish the job, and you finish the right way. Maybe here today, maybe you don't know Jesus as Savior. Is there a wall that's up that's keeping you from being saved? Is there something there? You know, you've heard it. You've heard it. You know in your heart that it's empty. You know in your heart that if you were to die today, you do not know 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Why don't you today say, you know what? I'm going to get that thing right. I'm going to tear down that wall. And I want to be saved today. You could realize you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Realize there's a price on sin. For the wages of sin is death. And realize Jesus, he paid that price. And all you have to do is call upon him. Some walls that need to be torn down. Hey, Christian, is there a wall that needs to be torn down? Is there something there that, why don't you go ahead and decide, you know, I'm going to fall at the right feet. I'm going to follow the right plan, and I'm going to finish the job. I'm going to finish the right way. You know, I love the invitation song that we play all the time. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely. Oh, that's not holding back. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Live our Heavenly Father. I sure do love you. Boy, there's a lot there in this chapter, a couple chapters of Joshua that we can learn a lot from. Could have taken a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, and just hit every angle of this. But today, Lord, you wanted me to present a simple truth. There's no doubt some folks here, some good, godly folks here, that there's some walls that are up. They kind of just feel like they're stagnant. They've not gone forward. There's some things in their life that I pray, dear God, whatever it is, that they'll decide, I'm going to follow at Jesus' feet. I'm going to follow his plan. And I'm going to finish this. I'm going to tear these walls down. I'm going to take care of whatever is in my heart that needs to be taken care of so that I don't fall back to it again. I pray, dear God, whatever it is. Maybe there's someone here, they don't know you as Savior. I pray, dear God, they'll settle that today. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die today, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven. That's me. Would you please pray for me? I'd like to know today. There's a wall, that wall that's keeping me from being saved. And today I'm going to settle that thing. I will not call you by name. But that's me, preacher. Would you please pray for me? I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'm going to knock that wall down. Would you please pray for me? Any hands at all? Anybody? Okay, maybe here today you say, preacher, I'm not going to prolong this invitation, but maybe you say, preacher, you know what? God spoke to my heart. There's some walls that need to be torn down this morning. Would you please pray? I won't call you by name, but that's me. Would you please pray for me right here? There's some walls. Boy, there's some walls. I need to tear some things down. It's stealing my joy. It's stealing some things from my Christian life. And that's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? May put your hands down. Heavenly Father, we love you. Ask your blessed invitation. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet right now. And the music's going to go ahead and play. I surrender all. Hey, you got to move. You got to make a decision this morning. Why don't you go ahead and do it as the music plays? I